So I've mentioned this before, but I have this theory that my kids, your kids, everybody's kids, when they're adults, are going to go back and say, I can't believe you let me have so much screen time. They're going to blame us.
Like smoking.
Yes, that's exactly it. Because that's totally what my generation blamed on our 70s parents. Yeah. You know, same thing. Like, you got to have something to nail on your parents to work out in therapy. And I genuinely believe that our kids are going to go, man, you just, like, let us have as much of that, you know, so you could go do your own thing as much as you wanted. But, yeah, I think the smoking comparison is great. And I feel like someday it's going to look so obvious that we made some big, big mistakes. So I feel like whoever can figure this out is going to, number one, be a hero, and number two, be rich. Like, really, really rich. And so I'm always thinking, like, I should do that. I see the problem. But have I done that? No. I'm here podcasting with you.
Sorry.
It's fun. It's fun. It is. But I did meet somebody who is pulling it off. This kid's name, his name is Mitch Gardner, and he and a college buddy sitting around at a bar over their fraternity, and they get this idea, and they actually followed through, and in just a couple of years, they've been able to get millions of people to download an app to tune in, basically to tune out. And it's starting to be all over high schools across this country and colleges. It's incredible. And you know how they did it?
How?
What are the two most powerful words in the English language?
I'm sorry.
No. Free stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I guess there are four. But on this Dying to Ask, we'll tell you how two admittedly cell phone addicted guys from Chico State went from idea to reality with an app called Pocket Points. What it even took them to get an app out these days, how teacher influencers, yep, that is a thing.
I can't believe that.
I know, how teacher influencers are making this thing spread like crazy in schools. And then the role a guy who passed on another app, a little app called Instagram.
Oh, that's a big regret.
The role this guy as an investor is playing in what I'm guessing is going to be a very, very successful outcome. This is kind of the ultimate art of the follow-through, I think. Mitch Gardner is our guest this week on Dying to Ask. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and I am obsessed with knowing how people do things. They write the book, they start the company, they go from idea to reality. I call it the art of the follow-through, and I want to know how people go from A to B. This is the Dying to Ask podcast. I think the only thing I don't like about your app is that I didn't think of it first. Do you hear that a lot?
Yeah, we hear that, you know, people will say it was their idea or they came up with the idea first, or they have an idea for an app like this if they've never heard of ours.
Well, I think everybody's had the idea that somebody's got to come up with something, you know? I mean, like...
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because when we first got going, we were in college, and we kind of had the mindset of, let's just do it. Who cares?
Like, now, who's we again?
So my business partner and I, Rob Richardson, we're the ones who started the app, and we still are running it together.
So you guys are college buddies.
Mm-hmm. And so we were in the Sigma Chi fraternity at
Chico State.
Did
this idea start in a fraternity house?
I mean,
yeah,
it did, like, pretty much.
Wow. I'm even more on board with this podcast now. Okay, continue.
If you want to get down to the details, it wasn't exactly in the fraternity house, but we were living in the
There's
fraternity
no
house.
There's no judgment. Don't worry about it. It's all good. So two college fraternity brothers, you're sitting around, you're talking. And are you done with college at this point?
No. So I was a junior. It was the spring semester. I was a junior and Rob was a sophomore. And Rob had made some apps and websites in the past, and he's really technically gifted. Just, you know, can code and, do all of that with ease. I mean, he just has always, from when he was a kid, he grew up in a house that didn't even really have solid Wi-Fi and taught himself how to do all this. And so he's just, you know, very, very technically gifted. And then I
love that. A house that didn't even have solid Wi-Fi. You sound like my son right now.
I mean, I think Rob could probably explain a little bit more. But
you know what? It I'm just kidding you. But, like, it kind of adds to the, like, he really was into it.
Yeah, no, I think he loves doing it, right? Yeah. And so...
And what do you bring to the table? What's your
special
skill?
Not a whole lot. No, I was a business marketing major. And so, you know, with that, we always just kind of would be sitting around, I guess, in our fraternity house. It wasn't really a fraternity house, but it was the the house that everyone in our fraternity would party at. So it was kind of the fraternity house because you couldn't have parties in the fraternity house. And it was above this bar called Riley's. We lived above Riley's is what we called it. And plenty of stories for another day about above Riley's.
Probably not appropriate for this show.
it was a good place.
And so what was it that kind of occurred to you? Like, we oughta.
Yeah, so I was sitting above Riley's one day. And Rob came up because everyone would kind of hang out in that area. And he was like, hey, I've been thinking about this concept of an app where, you know, we could incentivize students to not be on their phone, right? So Rob kind of had that light bulb idea. And I actually did a report the year before in one of my, I think it was like an English class, on not necessarily tech addiction, but like the information overload and people just like always kind of depending on their phones and depending on technology. So for whatever, I think, I don't know exactly if this is why, but looking back, I think that's why at that moment when Rob came up to me, it was like, it just something went off in my head. This is really interesting. I think we can elaborate on this. And we kind of started with that concept and started talking and thought, all right, everyone's on their phone in class. Could we incentivize them to stay off of their phones when it's appropriate? And I remember I went home that night after there was like, you know, some party or something. And I went home and was trying to fall asleep. And I typically can fall asleep like with ease. It's just never a problem for me. But I couldn't sleep that night. And it was just, I kept thinking about it over and over. And I have the text message that I sent to Rob. It was at like 2 a.m., saying, hey, we got to make this happen. And he said something like, let's do it. And so ever since that day, it was just, you know, let's try something. And if it goes well, awesome. If it doesn't, you know, like, we've got no regrets. And we tried to make it happen.
And so how many years ago was that?
That was in 2014, so okay, 5 years.
5 years ago. And so how quickly were you able to actually create the app?
Yeah, so that was in the spring of 2014. And then in the summer, Rob stayed in Chico, and I stayed in Chico and sold solar panels door to door, which is an interesting job.
You're like the modern day vacuum salesman.
Yeah, it was.
Talk about marketing.
Yeah, that was a great learning experience. That's for sure. But I was doing that, and he was, you know, kind of working on coding the application, see if it could work from a technical aspect. You know, if we can detect if people are off their phones, if we can tell if they're on campus, all of that.
So that's step one, is figuring out,
yeah, I was like,
can you even do the analytics on this?
Right. So that was kind of step one. And we had a teacher at Chico State who kind of, I went around and was just talking to as many teachers as possible. And a lot of them would be like, this is dumb, whatever. But one teacher.
Wow. Great support there.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's not exactly what they said. So I apologize. But there were a couple teachers that saw our passion and the kind of the fire in our eyes. And they were like, all right, I want to help you. I don't know if this is a good idea or not, but it seems like you guys are interested in making something happen. So that summer, we kind of met with this teacher's name is David Ron, and he would kind of just help us think, all right, here's what you need to be thinking. Here's problem, solution, business model. And what was really cool about him was he didn't say, hey, write this 50-page business plan. It was, here's this one-page document. What's your problem? What's your solution? Who's your customer? How much, you know, are you going to charge this and that? And it was really simple and helped us just kind of like keep moving forward.
That's like the main thing I think that prevents a lot of people from starting a business is the overwhelm. And to break it down like that, what a great mentor.
No, it was great. I think he was wise enough to understand like there's going to be a lot of hurdles. Let's not make this, you know, business jargon, you know, business plan one of those hurdles. There's going to be plenty of other things that aren't in our control.
Yeah. So how did you come up with the idea of how to incentivize? And why did you think that it would work? Because you and I met while we were doing, I was doing a tech story about your company, about Pocket Points, the app, and I hadn't been in a high school classroom in a while, and I walked in and I could not believe the phones on desks.
Right.
It was jarring. I mean, I see them in our meetings and stuff, but I was like, oh, well, you know, we're really busy people. Yeah. But you're in high school. You should be paying attention. No, It's a big, big deal on school campuses.
Well, I think at the main thing for us was that we saw this problem growing over time. If you think about when Rob and I were growing up in elementary, middle school, and high school, you had your flip phone come out, and then it had a camera on it, and then you had like the Sidekicks, and then you had the Blackberries, and then the iPhone came out, and that was in 2007. I think I was a sophomore in high school. And so we saw the evolution of this, you know, firsthand. And then by the time we were in college, it was Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, just all day nonstop. And so the problem was really obvious to us. And it was, I thought it was obvious that it was going to continue to grow, but that wasn't for sure. You know, like maybe people just stopped buying iPhones, who knows, but that didn't happen, obviously. So the problem was obvious of people being on their phones. The solution that for us wasn't so obvious, that was probably what we worked on the most in that summer, was how do we incentivize these students and will that even work? Like, will they even be incentivized by this? And kind of the first idea was, well, extra credit would be a great thing, right?
Sure, pizza party.
yeah. So
they're kids.
Yeah, like if I could get extra credit by sitting in class and not being on my phone, that seems like a great incentive, right? So we talked to a number of teachers at Chico State and did some focus groups. And really what it came down to is they weren't ready to use some other platform to like manage the students and their phone usage and extra credit and all this. Because in college, the teachers aren't as worried about the students graduating, right? In high school, you got to, like, those are your kids. And yeah. You want them to get through the system and graduate. But in college, you're paying to go there, and it's like, you know, sink or swim, right? And so at that point, we're like, all right, I don't think they're ready to adopt something like this. Simultaneously, one of our buddies was selling these planners that would go out on campus, but he was selling space for businesses to put discounts or deals on them. And he told us, yeah, they're paying to put these discounts. And that was
ding,
like,
ding, ding.
Yeah, we're like, oh, there we go. So that's when we said, all right, if those businesses would be willing to do something very similar on our mobile application, that could do it.
And that is how Pocket Points was born.
That's right. We didn't have the name though. So that was tough because if you think about it, the name really helps you move the ball forward in a number of ways. So they're points that you exchange, right? Well, if you don't have the name, at first there were tickets, then there are coins, and there are this and that. Okay, so that's one problem. Another problem, you got to print marketing materials. You got to make a website.
It's got to be clever.
Yeah, it's got to be clever. It's got to, you know, it's got to make sense.
This is where you came to the table.
Well, actually, this is where my buddy really kind of...
Rob again?
No, not Rob. My friend Brody, it was above Riley's again. There's something about that place.
Something about that place. Pretty sure I know what it is,
something
too.
In the water over there. I don't know.
I don't think it's the water. Anyway.
Well, yeah, it's, something magical there. But Brody, I was above Riley's and we were just sitting around and we couldn't think of a name. We had so many bad names. One of them was like College Sit Down App. One of them was like Heads Up or something. I mean, just some names that just weren't good. And Brody was just sitting there and I was on the phone with Rob and Brody goes, like, just call it Pocket Points. And I swear that moment, like, I've never experienced something like that where you just know. It's just,
we get it.
You know?
That was what coming up with a name for a podcast
yeah.
was like. We
yeah.
went... That was the hardest part. Weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
And finally, I just did random stream of thought, 16 titles. They were all, I thought, stupid, but I was just crossing it off a list to give it to our web manager, Devin. And he comes back to me 2 minutes later, goes, dying to ask. That's it.
Oh, that's great.
I'm like really? Yeah. I don't actually think that's very good. But here we are. So
I think it's great.
I'm glad you like it too. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, once they had the killer name, way to go, Brody, what happened next is like the ultimate A to B story. There's some great lessons for anyone who has ever thought about developing an app or really any kind of a business. And we'll tell you all about that right after this. Hashtag need a favor. Would you take a minute and screen grab this episode? Let us know what stuck out for you. Tag it in my Instagram stories at RunReadSip. It is a great way to let your friends know about Dying to Ask and help us grow this show. So the idea of Pocket Points is you open up the app, you go into a classroom, your classroom teacher has a code, everybody's kind of in the same little group on Pocket Points, then you put the phone down. Mm-hmm. And if you don't touch it, as the time goes on, you accumulate the points, and then you turn the points into your local businesses,
yes.
Thank you, Brody, for either discounts or sometimes free stuff.
Right. And so initially, the teachers didn't really have anything to do with it. So that the part with the teacher code, that comes later. But initially, it was just the businesses offering the deals. And then the students would go to class, like you said, open up the app, lock their phone. And as long as the phone's locked, they're gaining points. And then those points can be exchanged for deals around campus.
And did people jump on this right away? Because you had Chico State basically as your testing ground.
Yeah, so I keep plugging Riley's Bar here, but I think it's crucial. So Kevin Riley owns Riley's Bar, and Kevin Riley also owns Frankie's Bar, which is across the street. Kevin's dad's name's Frank, so you got Frankie's and Riley's. So it's like if you had Mitch Gardner's, which is so basically he runs like this whole little block. But so you had Riley's, Frankie's, and they have this other place called LaSalle's, and then a place called Fifth Street Steakhouse. And so when we got in touch with Kevin, he helped us go from zero stores signed up to three, right? And so
you had buy-in.
Yeah, and that was really important because what happens is you can now go to other places and say, hey, you know, this spot's doing it, this spot's doing it, and this spot's doing it. And
so here's lesson one. You need some credibility.
Yeah, I think you got to just hustle as hard as you can to get that first kind of champion, I guess you'd call it. You know,
you
someone,
need your cheerleader.
Yeah, totally.
So then, thanks to the bars, everybody starts kind of signing on. Did the students get into this right away? Because so, if there are two more powerful words in this English language than free stuff in this country, I don't know what they are.
Especially for students.
So
yeah, exactly.
So in the summer, it was all about building the app, right? Selling solar panels. So we could fund the thing. And then Rob was building the app. I was selling the solar panels and then also going to the businesses and signing up the businesses because we wanted to get the businesses before we launched it to the students.
Right.
So we signed up. I think we had Frankie's, Riley's, LaSalle's, Pita Pit. We had this place called Cheesesteak Shop. We had this place called Crazy Jane's, and about 5 to 10 others. So once we had those, I remember, you know, kids start kind of coming back in August or so. Some kids come earlier, and I remember being around a group of friends and that just kind of came back into town. They didn't really know we were doing this. I was like, hey, check this out. And I showed them the demo of the app. I'm like, hey, would you use this? And a couple of them right away were like, that is so sick. And
awesome.
That was really good to hear because we liked what we were doing and we thought, you know, this was a really good idea. But you don't know if people are going to adopt it or not. I mean,
right. They
might just – we were hearing from a lot of people, that's so sick. This is so cool. Yeah, of course I'd use it, which is great, but you still don't know if they actually would. They might just be telling you that.
Yeah.
So anyways, September comes around. We launched the app, I think it was September 10th of 2014, and we started seeing our friends use it, you know, the first week or so. Because we have a leaderboard on the application, so you could see who's like earning points, and you could see their name. So we'd be opening up and be like, "Oh,
you got the proof."
Yeah, yeah. They're like, "Okay, I know him or I know her," and you'd see these names. And that was the first week or so. Then we'd open it up the next week, and it was like, "All right, there's some names we don't know." And now it's like, "All right, this must be spreading a little bit."
Lesson two: When it's not just the people from Riley's Bar, like it might actually be. You've got the social proof that it's.
Yes, so we did a lot of guerrilla marketing. We just, you know, would put posters. I think we snuck into the school at like 2 a.m. one night and put posters up on all of the whiteboards. I was surprised that the door was open, but I think there was a janitor in there or something.
Lesson three: Chico State, lock the door.
Yeah, lock the door, or just follow the janitor in.
Yeah. And so let's flash forward and brag about you. 2019. How big is this thing?
Yeah. So, do you mind if I go back one more second?
All right.
So the next week after we saw the people we didn't know use the app. We went into these classes and said, hey, you know, download Pocket Points. It's this app. You know, has anyone heard of it? And almost like the whole class raised their hand. And we're like, oh, my, this is spreading really fast. Article came out. And then next thing we knew, we had like 50% of the kids using the app. It was pretty fast.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, so now flash forward.
So now it's, you know, it's been a while since we've launched the application, but what we did is we went from one school to, all right, this works at Chico, this is awesome, like, cool, to five schools. So we went and launched at Penn State was the second school we did. Then we did Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, Boulder, Colorado, Michigan, Arizona. And so that was a big test. Can we do this outside of just Chico? Penn State, 40,000 kids are at that school, and within a couple of weeks, we had, like, again, half of them using the app. It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So then we knew, like, this is cool, and people like it, and we've got something here, but how do we go and continue to grow from school to school? So we went from one school.
You have to go from the school and then find the local businesses in yep. each area, right?
Yeah. So that was kind of the chicken and egg situation, which a lot of businesses have, because if you think of, I always use Uber as an example, without drivers, it's not valuable to the riders. Without riders, it's not valuable to the drivers. And so you need both. Which one comes first? For us, it's really similar. And Airbnb is the same way. Most businesses are like this, or most platforms are like this, Netflix, Airbnb, Facebook. For us, the businesses were important, and you needed the businesses to get the students, but the students were important if you wanted to get the businesses. And more important after we launched and needed to get national businesses, because we would get the local ones like you're talking about. We'd go into Little Rock, Arkansas, and sign up local businesses around the University of Arkansas, which took time and, you know, a lot of effort. It's not impossible. Mm-hmm. It just takes time. And so you get those businesses, you launch the school. So we did that at one school, five schools, 60 schools, went to 100 schools, kept growing that way. Then over time, we realized if we want to get to every school in the country, we can't do it by just going to the local bagel shop, you know, in every single city in the country. It's going to just be a logistic nightmare, and we're going to need just an incredible amount of money.
You're talking about scalability.
Yeah, it's just not
scalable. Which is the test of every business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, a lot of people will say, do things that don't scale to start, and I believe in that, because I think you need to get product market fit. You need people to use the product. Do they even like it? Like, what good would it be for us to be thinking, like, scale, and we launch at Chico and no one downloads the app,
yeah.
you know? Make it so that people love it, find out what they love, and then try to figure out, okay, how's this thing scale?
When did you go into the high schools?
Yeah, so we focus on the national businesses because we want to be able to cover every college, but then at the same time, we kept getting really hundreds of emails from high schools saying, we want to use the product. And we started doing some pilots, like, you know, in towns next to the colleges, because we, again, needed the businesses to let the high school use the product. And that was good. We started seeing some high schools use it. But again, it was the question of how do we let every high school use it?
And they can't go to O'Reilly's Bar.
Yeah, no, they yeah. cannot. Well,
they're not legally allowed to, and they might not have a wonderful establishment like Riley's Bar in their town. So we've been thinking about this problem for a long time, just how can we do this in the best way? And a woman who works on our team, really smart, really just a critical thinker. She started as a customer service representative, but then just kind of kept taking on more and more tasks. And I think that's just a good lesson for anyone getting into a new job, is just keep doing more, mm-hmm. right? And asking for more work, and you're going to get more responsibility. But anyways, she just was super reliable and was always tackling new projects. And that built, obviously, her credibility, and we listened to her for sure. And she was saying, my mom's a teacher. We need to do this in high school. Like, they're begging for it. And we were always just like, nah, we got to focus on college. You know, we got to make this work in the area that we're addressing right now. And she was just real loud about it. I'm just like, we got to do high school. And finally, we're like, all right. Put together like a little small, you know, MVP product with minimal viable product and see if we can get some traction. So anyway, she made this type form. It was like this really kind of basic type form, which is basically a survey in a sense, where and people can kind of like sign up at the end of it. But we launched it, and all of a sudden we started seeing all these high school teachers sign up.
And here's the crazy part. This part that blew my mind. Like everything in life, social media started spreading it. And teacher influencers, that's a thing,
oh, yeah.
were the ones who were like the biggest Pied Pipers because it made their lives easier.
Yeah, so that's a, like, you know, if there's anyone listening to this who wants to start a business or even has a business, I think being really focused on the problem is probably the most important thing to do, because we were focused on the problem of students being on their phones. And who's that hurting? The teacher.
The teacher.
Right. And so we got on the phone with as many teachers as we could and said, hey, would this be valuable for you to be able to offer your own incentives, like extra credit? Again, back to what we, our first idea, right?
Yeah.
That was our first idea, was to do extra credit, but the college professors weren't really the target market for that.
High school teacher, however, was like, yeah, I can do that. I'll give them a piece of candy. They can trade it in for 10 points. And, you know, kids are competitive. And what I noticed when I went into, we went into high school together, they were genuinely into it. And they're like, there's a guy, there's a senior, he's got 2,000 packer points, and I want to beat him. And I mean, it was really quite clever.
So the leaderboard is probably a big thing in the high school.
Huge, yeah. You're like big man on campus because you put your phone down for a while.
Which I have to say, we were surprised.
Now, for somebody who's listening to this and saying, look, why don't they just, this is stupid, why don't the teachers just tell the kids to put the phones away? I asked that question because I had the same thought when I started seeing them. And here's the deal. There are 30 kids in a class, and if you're a teacher, you are nonstop saying, put the phone down, put the phone. I mean, for me as a parent, it's like being at home, you know, put the device away. But what they don't want to do is they don't want to take somebody's phone and then something happens to that phone. Somebody steals that phone. Somebody forgets to come pick their phone. They don't want to babysit phones. But it's very difficult, not only for the kids, but for the teachers too, because they're using pocket points, to be able to get the technology put away. It just is right now. And well, this is working. So I'm going to go back to my numbers question, but brag, how many people are using this app that started over Riley's?
Yeah. We've had over 2 million students download Pocket Points since we started.
Two million. Can you believe that?
That's a lot.
Yeah. It is.
It's a lot of discounts on
hard
pizza.
To, a lot of fried chicken. You'd be surprised.
Let's take another quick break. And when we come back, some of the lessons, Mitch, that you've learned in business, and then also some of the mistakes you've made, too. I'm sure you've done some really dumb stuff along the way, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I want to know what the end game is in all of this these days when you have a really great app that clearly people are into. Mm-hmm. We'll do more of that right after this on Dying to Ask. Do you love politics? Well, check out The Trail. Anyone who wants to be president has to go to New Hampshire first. This is a new Hearst Television podcast from our friends at WMUR-TV in New Hampshire.
How fun.
I know. The host, Adam Sexton, interviews all the people who want to live at 1600 Pennsylvania. And the way this 2020 campaign is shaping up, Adam's got a whole lot of episodes to record. Oh, you might have to help him with that. Check out The Trail from New Hampshire to the White House, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. So at some point in this whole process, it stopped being kind of an experiment and a, hey, can we do this? And it started turning into a business. So how did you, how do you make money on this?
Yeah. So when we first launched at Chico State, we launched the product with like $1,000 or maybe less. Yeah. About $1,000. And so really kind of bootstrapped it at that point. And then when we got all that traction at Chico State, there was an article that came out and a local entrepreneur who started Build.com, his name's Chris Friedland. He Build.com's kind of like a Home Depot online.
It's huge. Yeah. Yeah, it's anybody who's ever done a remodel knows Build.com.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So he went to Chico State, and we, you know, they talk about him in our business classes, and so I kind of knew of him. I didn't know him, but he wanted to go get lunch with us. And
are you freaking out?
Oh, yeah.
Did you take him to Riley's?
We went to Tres Hombres.
Okay.
Riley's after.
No, I'm just kidding. Good meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. But we knew he invested in this other entrepreneur named Andrew Gazdecki, who started a business called Business Apps. And Andrew was a little bit older than us, but also, you know, there's like a poster of him in the business school, and I kind of had knew of him as well. And we knew that story, and he took Andrew out to lunch and invested in Andrew's business like probably 4 years before this. And so Rob and I, we were freaking out, and we went to Tres Hombres, talked to him, and he was on his phone like the whole time.
Oh, the irony.
We're like, you are the problem. This is exactly what we're trying to accomplish, is to get people more engaged in, you know, eye-to-eye contact and conversation, and not be so addicted to
focus.
To their bright, colorful screens. And anyways, so he's not really paying attention to us. And then we start telling him the numbers. We're like, yeah, about, you know, 30 to 40% of the kids have the app right now. And he's like, what? And so long story short, on Chris's end, he did not invest in this company called Bourbon a few years before. You probably don't know of Bourbon, but you may know of Instagram, which Bourbon turned into.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So he'll tell you that story. And so that was fresh in his mind, mm-hmm. because I think he would have made a little bit of money there.
Wow.
But anyways, he didn't want to miss out on the next one. I'm not saying we're Instagram by any means, but that mindset of kind of the FOMO, feeling of missing out, right, was still fresh for him. And so he heard the numbers, and I think he went to the bathroom or something and came back. And right when he came back, he's like, I want to invest in you guys. And we were like, all right, what does this mean? Sounds good. So we ended up going to his office. I think it might have been like the next day or a couple days after. It was really quick. It all seemed like the same day. And we're sitting in the office, and he goes, all right, well, let's do $50,000 and let's go see if this can work at other schools. I think he's like, this might just be a Chico thing. Like, I don't know. He's like, I think this is the dumbest idea. But let's just.
So is Bourbon.
Bourbon was even dumber. So.
Yeah. So that's how you find an original investor.
Some of the local press that we got was really helpful, obviously, because it kind of validated it, mm-hmm. and that got his attention. But then more importantly, I think any young entrepreneur who's starting a business or an app, a lot of them reach out to me and say, hey, how can I start my app and this and that? And I always just tell them, like, you don't go and look for investment or any of that until you launch it and have people using it and know if people actually want the thing. I mean,
and your proof of concept.
Yeah, proof of concept. They're called product market fit. And so we didn't just go and get $50,000. Like, we had a hot app. I mean, everyone on campus was using it. So I just – that's a big step from just getting money and then starting your app.
But the bottom line is, you got to have something that actually people want. They got to be willing to buy what you're selling.
It's got to solve a problem.
So are you making money now?
Yeah, so we raised that $50,000, went to those five schools. Then we launched those, went really well. We raised like a $600,000 round, which was big, obviously. And then we started, we need to focus on making money, because we saw other products, other popular apps, like, failing because they weren't generating any revenue.
So mm-hmm. what's the end game with an mm-hmm. app like this? Like, what, like, paint your perfect picture. What happens with it? You sell it?
Yeah, I think with any business, any business with investors, you want to get the investors a return on their investment. And so that can come from a number of ways, but primarily either getting acquired, like Instagram got acquired for, I think it was $1 billion by Facebook.
You should totally do that.
That sounds pretty nice.
Yeah, it's a good plan on paper.
Can't rely on that. So that's an acquired anomaly, though, because all entrepreneurs shouldn't think that they're going to get acquired for $1 billion. And I don't even sit at home and think we're going to get acquired for $1 billion. That's like one in a million, you know, or more at least.
But being acquired by a company.
But being acquired by a company is realistic. Yeah. And that's a way you can get your investors' money back and make money for yourself. But the other way is just to keep generating profits, and then you can go public, and that's, you know, a way of exiting or liquidating. And so.
Are you having fun?
Yeah, I think it's fun to work on anything that you're passionate about. And when I was selling solar door to door, I wasn't super passionate about that. There's a level of grit you need to do that. But it was a great learning experience. So I think there's a couple things that are important. When I say I wasn't passionate about selling solar, that doesn't mean I wasn't like happy. I wouldn't go home like all, you know, pissed off. I was a happy person. because you're learning. And like, I think if you're learning while you're doing your job, that's really important. You know, you can either learn or earn, right? You can go and work at an investment bank at Goldman Sachs, and maybe you're not learning a ton, but maybe they're paying you a good amount of money. And that's a decision people can make. Like, yeah. Making money, there's no problem with that. I think, you know, at least at this stage in my life and people in college and right out of college, I would, and it's just my opinion, I think learning in a job is more important because money is going to come and go. But the stuff you're learning will last forever. And we've learned so much doing this. I can't even begin to describe how incredible this experience has been.
In only a few years. I mean, it's a pretty short trajectory.
I'll put it in perspective. I remember Rob and I, we were talking. It was probably like a few months after we started. And we're like, we've learned more in these 3 months than we have in our whole time at school.
So true, isn't it?
And so that was 3 months, and we've been doing it for 5 years. So
and you learn through the mistakes that happen, I think. I always feel like really learn through the failures much more than you do your successes.
I mean, it's a bumpy road. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not – people try to glamorize, entrepreneurship these days, and there are definitely high highs, but there's some low lows. And it could be a lonely thing, right? There's not – especially for Robin, because – and it's great having a business partner because you kind of lean on each other in those tough times. But when you're young, starting a business, it wasn't like I could go and hang out with my friends and just we can all talk about, oh, man, this sucks or that sucks. They're all talking about, their tests that they're taking.
Right, because you guys are still in school.
I'm like, how are we going to make payroll? That's why I say it's a little bit lonely, right? Because there's not a lot of people that can relate at that point when you're right out of college starting a business. But whenever I think about that kind of stuff, which I try not to think about a lot, I think I wouldn't want it any other way. I think it's a challenge.
Well, and the irony is you're probably on your phone now more than you ever were before running the business.
So funny you mentioned that because when we were in we dropped out of school after we got the $50,000 from Chris Friedland. But before that, when we were starting to get a lot of traction, the teachers kind of knew, we started the app. It was kind of, a popular thing on campus. And I'd be in class just on my phone the whole time. And they were like, what? You're such a hypocrite. So, yeah.
Well, hey, Mitch, thank you for sharing the Pack of Points story. It's a great ride that clearly is still going really strong. And I can't wait to find out what ultimately you guys end up doing with this. You're already crazy successful. And most importantly, according to these teachers, making a huge difference in class. And when you think about the habits you're helping high school kids form before they get into college, that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I had to predict the next, 2, 5, 10 years, I think the core of what we're going to be doing is trying to help those users and solve those problems. And I think if we do that and if we provide value in that way, then we'll be just fine.
Do you guys have your pictures in the business office in Chico now?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Yeah. What's up with that? I don't know. Maybe my face was made for radio.
Thanks, Mitch.
That was an interesting one.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda, right?
Right? I'm always thinking these things too late.
I know, but it's so interesting. I loved his whole story about meeting up with kind of the angel investor.
Right, yeah.
And then finding his story. I'd never heard of bourbon before, had you?
No,
I mean,
never.
I know bourbon, but I didn't know that bourbon. That was so interesting. I'm impressed. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this in the next couple of years. And then what idea they do after that.
Right.
Because it's all about solving a problem you don't even know you have.
Right.
You want to follow Pocket Points or download it, you should. PocketPoints.com is the website, and you can learn. It's not just for school, and it is for everyone. It's not just for people who are going through school or are educators. And there's also a whole section on it for distracted driving. So that's good for all of us.
Problem number two.
And that's what they're also solving now. On Instagram, you can follow them at Pocket Points, and then you can follow Mitch at MitchGardner5.
Nice.
The number 5, by the way. You can follow me on Instagram at Run Read Sip. The show is on Instagram at Dying to Ask Podcast. Jeff.
You can find me at Producer Jeff.
And then if you could screen grab this episode and let us know what you think about it, we'd love it. Show it on your Instagram stories or wherever you like to do your social media-ing.
Rate and review us. All that
love
fun
that
stuff.
Too. All right, we'll see you next time.
Bye.